Hi, Lynn. Hi, everyone. Gosh, it just hit me that I'm hungry, but I guess it's going to have to wait an hour. I haven't eaten since breakfast, but I haven't been hungry all day. And just now it said, hey. But it'll have to wait. Not a good time. Nope, this is not Cheryl. This is her friend, Regina. How you doing, Cliff Nick dude? We are here for Holy Spirit Guides, back to the routine. And I do have a link for you. You know, everything's back to normal now. Here's a link. This is a message from, I think it's, I don't see the dates the way I have it. I think it's around May or June of 2007. We'll just say the late spring or the summer of 2007. I didn't, have a lot of messages from April of 2007 until August of 2007. Only a couple of messages came through then. What was happening in my life at that time is that I put the finishing touches on NTI. Oh, did I not give the link? Oh, Blue must have came in after I gave the link. Here you go, Blue. I was putting the finishing touches on NTI. And then in May of 2007, I sent NTI to the publisher. And when I sent NTI to the publisher, I was just overcome with this gratitude for having been a part of that, right? And not just for putting NTI into the world, but for having the benefit of being the first student of NTI, of reaping the benefits of having the way that I see be changed, having just realizations and just the awakening process that occurred as I was the scribe and student and teacher of NTI. So when I sent it off to the publisher, I was just overwhelmed with this gratitude for my God, what a magnificent gift to have been able to do this, wow. And right after that, I had this feeling that I didn't want it to stop. I didn't want the growing, the awakening, the realizations, the letting go of ego. I didn't want it to stop. So I went and I said a prayer to Holy Spirit, and I prayed that Holy Spirit would, well, first I said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, for letting me write NTI. And then I asked, please send me something else that will take me higher into love. I literally said, I don't want it to stop now. Please send me something else that will take me higher into love. And I prayed that prayer in May of 2007, right after sending NTI to the publisher. And it was 2 weeks later that I met Laurent Ellie Levy at Camp for Miracles in New Hampshire. And what I didn't realize when I first met him is that he was the something else that Holy Spirit sent me to bring me higher into love. What happened between May and August of 2007, from the time I met Laurent until August, is that I began to receive guidance to join with him as a couple, right? For us to join together. And it seems he was receiving the same guidance, so this wasn't one-sided. But we were both in resistance of the guidance to some degree. And so we spent the summer getting to know each other over the phone. We had some very expensive phone bills, and we spent the summer talking about our guidance, and we spent the summer discussing our resistance. But it wasn't until the very end of July where we both seemed to realize we were going to say yes to this guidance and that he was going to come to my house and live with me. I always joke with people that our first date was living together for 6 weeks, and it was, and that we were going to join as a couple. But in late July, we did make that decision. So during this period of time, it's like some kind of a transition was occurring. I was transitioning from my time with NTI into my time with Laurent. And during this period of time, there weren't a lot of messages. In fact, I think only a couple over that particular summer. The messages began to come again at a regular pace once Laurent was with me in North Carolina and we were joined in relationship. So what we're going to do tonight, you know, depending on the time, is probably look at those two messages that came over the summer, you know, during this period of time. And then probably next week, depending on how time goes, but probably next week, we will begin going through the series of messages that I received in my relationship with Laurent. So what I would like to do right now is I would like to say a prayer. And if you all don't mind, I would love it if you would join me. All right? Holy Spirit, I am grateful for your guidance. And right now I am feeling a specific prompt to say that I am grateful for symbols of surrender. Symbols of surrender are reminders to surrender or calls to surrender. Last night I spoke about the trip to Israel, and I spoke about the Church of Annunciation being a place that seemed to have a vibration or an energy of surrender. That's an example of a symbol of surrender. There are also stories such as the night of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Your will, not mine." There are prayers, like the prayer on page 216 in NTI, the prayer of surrender. I just want to thank you for every single symbol of surrender. I understand the importance of surrender. I understand that surrender is the same as choosing not to listen to the ego. And Spirit, I ask you to highlight for me the symbols of surrender, the reminders of surrender in my perception and in my mind, so that the idea of surrender, so that my love of surrender is always at the forefront of my mind as my purpose, so that I will remember to continually surrender. Not to come from ego, but from that place of wholeness, that voice of wholeness, which is the voice we listen to when we are surrendered. Amen. All right. So a couple more people have come in the room, so let me pass the link out one more time. There's the link. And if you've opened the message, you know that it's called, "Why Do We Listen to the Ego?" Why in the heck do I keep doing this? Good question, don't you think? So let's see. Here's the specific question that was asked this day. Why do we believe the ego when everything it says is untrue? How can we shift into not believing what it says? And here's Holy Spirit's answer. I am glad you ask this question. Understanding the answer to this question is very important to realizing who you are. You listen to the ego because you want to. I know this may not seem true at the conscious level, but it is true, or you could not hear the ego at all. The ego is not real. It is nothing that could be heard if you did not give yourself the ability to hear it. This ability, which you give yourself, is best called imagination. But it is divine imagination, which can seem very real within the experience of imagination itself. Still, it is imagination. Just as a child imagines everything that happens in a game of imaginary play, you imagine everything the ego seems to say to you. And just as the child desires to imagine everything she imagines in her play, you desire to imagine everything the ego says to you. This is important to accept. Denial of this truth only keeps you in the feeling of victim, which is the belief of being trapped in your own play. As long as you hold to the idea of powerlessness, you surrender the idea of your power and remain trapped by your own choice. Okay, so I'm going to stop there for a moment. There are a lot of thoughts that can run through the mind that come from the ego. And on an individual basis, what I have discovered is that some of us do seem to be more tortured by the ego than others. Since we're all one, that's not true. Because if your mind appears to be more tortured than my mind, in reality, that's the same mind. But sometimes it's not helpful to jump beyond the appearance to the reality, because we are here experiencing the appearance. And sometimes you need to start right where you're at, where there are seeming differences. And I would be lying to my friends if I always told them, I know what you're going through. Because some of my friends seem to experience a more intense ego than I have experienced in this lifetime. And I know I don't know what they're going through. I've been blessed a couple of times by Holy Spirit. I've been blessed a couple of times by Holy Spirit with a couple of friends who were particularly tortured. These friends were asking me for help. And based on my experience in this lifetime, I could not understand their experience. And so with one friend, Holy Spirit gave me a vision where for a very short time, maybe 5 minutes or so, I saw the world exactly as he sees it. Or at least as he saw it then. I think his perception is changing now. And he was right there beside me as I described what I was experiencing. And so he confirmed for me that the way that I was temporarily seeing the world is exactly how he sees it. And then suddenly I understood, right? And then there's another friend where I had a dream. And in that dream, my perception was completely different and much more fearful than anything I've ever experienced in this lifetime. And when I woke up, I was told that this dream was the perception that belonged to a friend of mine. And then I was able to understand her. So there are apparent differences. Some of us seem more tortured in this lifetime than others. And to deny that right now just doesn't seem useful. And now I'm going to jump over to the sameness. Whatever we are experiencing, whatever our ego is saying, Spirit is saying that we're experiencing that because we want to. Now, what you might be able to imagine or even feel is if you are one of these people who has a very strong, almost evil ego that seems to be torturing you from within you. You think that you want very much to get away from it. And Spirit is saying that's not true, or you couldn't even experience it. And not only that, Spirit is saying this is very important to accept. This is very important to accept. And I actually know why. I know why from my own experience. Because I told you about the two friends whose minds I got to experience temporarily, one in a vision, the other in a dream. And what I saw as I experienced the world through their mind was that it's, as bad as it is, it's worse if I think I'm victim to it. It's worse if I think I'm victim to it. So in order to begin to allow a change so that my perception can change and so that I can begin to see with more clarity and less of that ego, one of the first things I need to do is accept I am not victim. The idea that I am victim to that ego mind keeps me trapped within it. So it is very important to accept, even if I can't consciously or intellectually believe it, to accept it at the heart level. Who cares if the thinking mind understands, right? To accept it out of trust, just trusting the Holy Spirit. It's important that I accept I could not experience this ego if I didn't want to. And if I can begin to accept that, what begins to happen is I begin to be released from the idea that I am victim. And that begins to release me from the experience of being trapped in what I'm going to call a crazy mind. All right, so let me just read the last paragraph again and then I'll move forward. Let me get a drink of water. Just as a child imagines everything that happens in a game of imaginary play, you imagine everything the ego seems to say to you. You imagine everything the ego seems to say to you. And just as the child desires to imagine everything she imagines in her play, you desire to imagine everything the ego says to you. This is important to accept. Denial of this truth only keeps you in the feeling of victim, which is the belief of being trapped in your own play. As long as you hold to the idea of powerlessness, you surrender the idea of your power and remain trapped by your own choice. Begin to release the ego by accepting that you choose everything it says to you. Look at every fear and at every accusation it places in your mind and say to yourself, I chose this thought because I wanted to know the experience. Then ask yourself, what do I want now? Now, if you pay real close attention to this paragraph, you will see how Spirit is kind of undoing a habitual way of listening to ego that we got into so that it feels like a trap because it's habitual, right? First, instead of believing that we are victim of this crazy mind, which is something we probably believed for a long, long time, we may have even had psychiatrists confirming it for us by telling us we had, you know, bipolar disorder, psychosis, OCD, I don't remember the names of all these things, but, you know, we may have had psychiatrists confirming for us that we are victim to our mind, right? But Spirit is not saying that's true. Spirit is not saying that's true. And Spirit is saying, no matter what your mind is saying to you, no matter how fearful it is, no matter how evil or sick or twisted it may seem, right? No matter how persistent it is, to look at it and say, I chose this thought because I wanted to know this experience. And I'll tell you, it's helpful if you remember the little symbol that Spirit is giving us in this message of a child pretending, right? When a child plays, a child sitting alone, playing with dolls, or maybe even playing with other kids, doesn't always play what we would call nice stuff, right? Sometimes they play mean stuff, abusive stuff, or sad stuff, right? They play war. They play doctor, but somebody could be dying. They play all kinds of things, okay? But they're playing those things because they want to. They want to have that pretend experience. So when you're looking at your mind, and all of these thoughts are coming into the mind, if you remember, I chose this thought because I wanted to know the experience. And keep the perspective of play. Okay, keep the perspective of play as you're looking at it. And then go to the next step and say, what do I want now? What Spirit is giving us the opportunity to do is to, what the Course calls, choose again. Choose again. I chose these thoughts of hatred and attack. I wanted this experience, this emotional experience. But what do I want now? You see how we're taking ourselves out of the trap? Which means it's not a trap, right? If we can take ourselves out of it. Now listen to what Spirit says next. Don't ask yourself this question too lightly. Don't let the answer come too quickly from the surface of your mind. Take time to go deep within, to the core of your soul, to the center of your true heart, and ask, what do I want now? When you find the answer to this question, you will know it, because it will rise up with a recognition that will cause every cell in your body to stand with attention and sing. Sometimes the mistake we make when we learn something from A Course in Miracles, from NTI, from this message from Holy Spirit, is we learn it at what I'm going to call the intellectual level, and then we practice it at the intellectual level. But the intellectual level is not the level of true experience. So like if we have this idea in our head that I'm supposed to look at my thoughts and I'm supposed to say, you know, I chose this thought because I wanted this experience, right? And then I think I'm supposed to say, but what I really want now is love. And I kind of stay up at the intellectual level, just saying it because Spirit, you know, said to say it in a message. It doesn't really affect a change. So Spirit is saying, don't ask yourself this question too lightly. Don't let the answer come too quickly. Instead, take the time to be still, to go deep within, and find the answer. Find the answer, feel the answer, know the answer, experience the answer, that I only want to be loved, or however the answer appears to you. Let it come from your depth. It's not intellectual. And answering from deep within yourself and recognizing your own true answer is going to begin to affect a change. Okay, I notice Lord Blue has his hand up. So, Lord Blue, what do you have? Okay, Lord Blue's question, what is the relationship between surrender on the one hand and what do I want now from the other hand? Is not it the case that the meaning of surrender is not to want anything and to let HS take care of everything? The only difference between what do I want now, the way Spirit's teaching it to us in this message, and surrendering to Holy Spirit is a matter of symbols. It's a matter of symbols only, words. If you practice the way Holy Spirit is asking and you take that time to go within your depth and ask, what do I want? You are going down to the place inside of you where the answer is the same as Holy Spirit's answer. Remember, your will and Holy Spirit's will are one. But that's why you have to leave the ego. That's why you have to leave the intellect, and you have to take the time to go deep. But when you go deep and you ask that question, what do I want now? It is literally the same as asking Spirit, what do you want for me? Because you're asking from that same place, right? And the answer is rising from that same place. Remember, Holy Spirit, not the actual wisdom that we call Holy Spirit. The actual wisdom itself is not a symbol, it's real. But the words Holy Spirit, those words are a symbol that come from the Christian tradition, right? You're not going to find Buddhists talking about Holy Spirit, or you're not going to find Hindus talking about Holy Spirit. They're going to use different sets of words to talk about the same process of going within. They might use the symbol of the heart, ask the heart. Right? So we don't want to get confused by words. We want to realize that we're talking about reaching a wisdom, a depth within that knows what's in our best interest, what's true for us, right? It's the experience we're after. And when you have that experience, whether you call that Holy Spirit, whether you call that my heart, whether you call that my true self, it's irrelevant. You're still talking about the same act of surrendering the ego and going within to a higher wisdom. So hopefully that answers your question, Lord Blue. All right, let me go back to the message then. So we know not to ask the question too lightly. We know this is not an intellectual exercise. This is a process of going within and finding that true answer and experiencing it. Experiencing the answer of what do we want now. Realizing through absolute experience that we are ready to make a different choice. Right? Holy Spirit then continues. Once you have the answer to the question, what do I want now? Look back at the content of the ego thought in your mind. What is it trying to teach you? Is it teaching your consciousness that which you would have consciousness learn? If not, it is not a thought you want now. It is the residual thought of an experience you chose before, but an experience you are choosing against now. With this realization in mind, remember that everything you experience comes to you through your choice. Remember how you truly want to experience now. And with the power and love of God that backs every decision you make, look at the thought you do not want and say, I do not choose this thought today. This is a thought I do not want now, because this is not how I would experience myself any longer. Now remember, this is not an intellectual exercise. You're not just repeating these words because they were in a message. You have invoked the part of you where what you're saying now is the sincerest thing you could possibly say. You are looking right at the ego thoughts that are the result of a decision you made before, the decision to have these false experiences. And from a place of true realization and knowledge, you are saying, I don't want this anymore. This is powerful, because you are certain and you know that you're speaking from your truth now. There's no fear in you. Right? There's a depth of knowledge. It's very powerful. Now, Holy Spirit, oops, Lord Blue has another question, so before I continue, let's see what Lord Blue has. Okay, so Lord Blue says this is a follow-up to the previous question. Then this means there is only one option, only one right answer. So this is not really a choice because there is only one answer, right? And the answer is right. I think that at some point we get to the point of what I would call choicelessness, the point of being so clear on what we truly want that now we're just following that. We're just, you know, some people would call it being in the flow. Some people would call it being surrendered. Some people might even call it abiding. But you're in touch with your real self. You're no longer confused about who you are or what you want. I think Peace Pilgrim called it being in harmony with yourself. So you're right, it's not really a choice. Not when you get in touch with who you are and what you want, the idea of choice disappears. So thanks, Lord Blue. That was a very enlightening question. At first, it feels like a choice, yes. Yes. Okay, so now, continuing with the message. Again, we're saying to the thoughts from a real depth, I do not choose this thought today, right? This is a thought I do not want now, because this is not how I would experience myself any longer. And again, we're not just saying these words because Holy Spirit told us to. We have taken the time to get in touch with the part of ourself where this is just absolute truth. This is just a statement of absolute truth. I don't want this anymore, right? Holy Spirit continues, the content of these words is important because they do not deny the fact that the thought is in your mind because you once chose to experience the feelings the thought has to offer. This is important because in not denying this, you are recognizing yourself. And now, with the true recognition of yourself in your mind, you can choose again with confidence and assurance. And this will surely bring a smile of remembrance to your face. So he's really talking about, we have taken ourselves into the light, right? We've taken ourselves into the light. Some people call it awareness. Some people call it looking at it with Holy Spirit. But that symbol still seems to make it sound like somebody else is helping me. In reality, you've just found that place in you where you are Holy Spirit. And you're looking at it from that perspective now, instead of from the perspective of separation and fear and victim. That's why you have confidence and assurance. And you're certain that you don't want this anymore. You're fully in the light, speaking from the light. Holy Spirit continues, this way of choosing not to listen to the ego may seem difficult and tiresome at first, but these feelings of change will not last. This is only the transition of choosing again. It takes some seeming effort to take a grand and divine motion and turn it in an opposite direction. But this effort is not a battle or a war, so do not slip into believing it is. It is a divine choice and a thing of beauty. Respect your power as you push to turn your own motion in another direction. Be in awe of everything you are and everything you create. In this way, you choose with love. And in choosing with love, you continue to push the force of motion in the direction you would have it go now. So you're not fighting against the ego. You are making a new choice. And the old choice, as strong as it may seem, comes from you and your power to choose, right? So you're not fighting with some enemy ego who's struggling against you. You are experiencing the awesome power of your own choice. But if the awesome power of your own choice could create this seeming frightening ego, that same awesome power of your own choice can release you from that, can give you a new perception, right? The perception of love, the perception of peace, the perception of joy. So he's really asking us to respect that this seemingly horrible ego that we thought we were victim of came from the awesome power of our choice. And now we're using the awesome power of our choice to choose again. You know, if you've ever played with a pendulum, you know that if you get the pendulum swinging left to right, left to right, left to right, especially if you're doing it with the mind. Have any of you moved a pendulum with the power of your mind, not your hand, right? Where you hold the pendulum and then with your mind you tell it to go left to right, left to right, left to right. If you've never done this, try it. It's actually quite cool. If you hold your hand still, but you just think in your mind that you want the pendulum to go left to right, left to right, left to right, it'll start moving back and forth. And then it eventually gets into this huge swing. And it's very easily moving left to right. Then if you decide now that you want it to stop and go front and back, that seems to take a bit of effort because the left to right is such an easy, natural motion now. So you have to put some thought into now, stop, now, stop. And you have to be very consistent with choosing that now, stop in your mind. But if you do, it begins to slow and then it stops. And then you can say now, back and forth, now, back and forth. And at first there's a bit of effort in the mind, a bit of consistency in the mind, but the pendulum begins to respond and pretty soon it's swinging back and forth easily. Okay, so that's what's happening. The ego is like the pendulum swinging left to right. We gave it the energy to do that. We wanted those experiences and it's swinging very easily and habitually left to right. And now we're in a process of choosing again. And it seems to take some consistency to keep choosing stop, 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 so that we can then tell it to go forward and backwards. But it's not fighting a devil, right? It's not fighting a devil. It's just choosing again. All right, Lord Blue, what do you have now? Question, it seems to me that this message called the ego a divine imagination, divine motion. Any comments on this? Yeah, I suppose the comments are that Spirit is really trying to impress upon us that everything comes from us. The language the Course would use is dreamer of the dream. And the word imagination, of course, implies not real, right? But Spirit wants to impress upon us that it comes from us. It's not, again, it's not a devil. So many people, especially people with really fearful egos, although they hear the ego's not real, you know, they hear it's not the devil, the truth is they struggle with it as if it is, as if it's some power outside of them yet in them, right? They have to fight something. And that is not helpful. So what Spirit is trying to impress upon us is that we are this awesome power. That's what the divine represents. We are this awesome power. And we chose this experience. And this seemingly horrible ego is merely evidence of what we can choose. But the good news in that is if we can choose this, we can also choose to let it go, right? So it's a matter of learning to respect our awesome power and to work within that awesome power without fearing it, without fighting it, without thinking that we're victim. So, I think that's why those words were chosen, to help us see that way instead of thinking that we're victim. And that's the end of that particular message. So what I'm going to do is bounce ahead several messages, because like I told you, I only had a couple of messages all summer, so I'm going to have to do a lot of clicking, and after I find the next message, I will get the link for you. So patience while I click. Lots and lots of clicks. What I'm clicking by is I was doing typical blogging that summer. Since I wasn't receiving messages from Spirit, I was just blogging every day, and I don't feel like reading Regina's blogs. I want to stick with the Spirit messages. Here's your next link. This is from sometime in the summer of 2007, and the question is, how do we overcome addictive fears? Here's the question. Please teach us how to stop listening to our addictive fears. I make this request in love and through a desire to know only thyself. Answer. Addictive fears are those same fears that come into your mind repeatedly over a period of time. They are the fears that scare you the most because you believe they are true. They are the fears that seem to have evidence within your world, the fears that have already become manifest in your experience. Addictive fears are fears you are living now, and you cannot seem to turn your mind away from them because the evidence of your fear is a constant reminder that the fear you fear is real. Not that it is real, but that's the ego's story, right? So an addictive fear might, for example, be a fear of lack. And your experience might be that you never have enough money to pay your bills. So it seems very real. It's, you know, somebody might try and tell you that's just a thought in your mind. And you're like, bullshit, it's not a thought in my mind. Have you seen the stack of bills in the kitchen? Right? I can't pay them. It's real. Right? This is an addictive fear. You seem to have evidence that it's real. That's the perception of it. Okay? So when you seem to be in the thick of its, quote, reality, how do you let go of it? Right? How do you let go of it when it seems to be your daily life? All right, here's Spirit's answer. There are two ways to overcome addictive fears, faith and knowledge. Faith is the first level of overcoming addictive fear. Faith works because you are that which you are. So again, you're that awesome power, right, that we talked about in the previous message. Faith works because you are that which you are. Faith works even if you do not have knowledge. It doesn't matter what you put your faith in. It could be faith in God, faith in a person, faith in therapy or magic, incantation or medicine. But if you have faith in anything as a means of taking away that which you fear shall be taken away. You may not be aware that it was taken away through faith, but your faith is the power that led to the change in experience. So for example, if you have faith that if you find a job, you will not be afraid of lack anymore. If you really believe this thought, then when you find a job, your fear of lack may seem to be gone. It will no longer be a fear that tortures you every day. And you will probably make the mistake of thinking, well, I'm not afraid of lack because I got a job. But the truth is, you're not afraid of lack because you had faith that the job would take care of the fear, right? So, you know, this is what the Course calls magic, right? The Course says that because you believe the medicine will heal you, right, it does. Okay, so this is faith. This also explains, you know, my crazy ego used to get confused about why people who believe something that's not true, you know, let's say some religious doctrine that is not truth, right? It's a man-made religious doctrine. Why do people who believe in a religious doctrine that is not truth still experience miracles like physical healing? You know, I used to think, shouldn't the fact that, you know, that they believe in, you know, this wrong doctrine, shouldn't that get in the way of miracles happening? You know, like they're wrong. How can they experience miracles? It doesn't matter if their religious doctrine is still an untrue doctrine, right? A separation-based doctrine. They had faith in the miraculous healing. Okay? And so it still happened. So you see the power of faith? You don't have to have the right religion, the right spiritual beliefs to have a physical healing. If you have faith in physical healing, you see? So the first way to overcome addictive fear is to have faith, and it doesn't matter what you have faith in. Just the faith itself. But the Course might call that magic. All right? Now, the second way to overcome addictive fears is knowledge. So Spirit says, hold on, I have to have a drink or I'm going to be having a coughing fit in a second. Faith that a drink is going to work, I swear. Watch, I'm going to take this drink and the tickle is going to leave my throat. There's an example of faith right there. And what would happen if I didn't believe that? Like if I didn't believe that the water was going to cure my tickle, and let's say Danielle's saying, take a drink. I'm like, it's not going to work, and I take the drink. It's not going to work, right? So it's not really the water that took care of the tickle, is it? It was my faith that the water would take care of the tickle. You see? Yeah, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I drank water and now I'm fine. That's an example of faith, or what the Course would call magic. Okay? All right. Knowledge is the second level of healing or overcoming addictive fear. Knowledge as a means of healing is most useful to the mind because it teaches the mind that the truth is always true. Right? My faith that the water was going to cure my tickle did not teach that the truth is true. It kind of reinforced illusion. It still worked. But it kind of reinforced illusion. All right? But knowledge, the second level of healing or overcoming addictive fear, it is as a means of healing, is most useful to the mind because it teaches the mind that the truth is always true. It does not reinforce illusion. Knowledge need not be complete in order to be useful for this purpose. In other words, you don't have to wait until you're fully awakened. Incomplete knowledge can be combined with faith, and a powerful teaching formula is enacted within the mind. I'm going to read that again. Incomplete knowledge can be combined with faith, and a powerful teaching formula is enacted within the mind. So a perfect example of this is when I, as you guys, many of you know, I was guided to leave my job, blah, 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 with the old stories, guided to leave my job. But at first, although there was a lot of fear around lack, the truth is I still had some magic that I could put my faith in. We call it a savings account. So for a time I was, able to put aside some of those fears because I had the savings account. I had money. But there came a point where the savings account was running out. And when the savings account was running out, my fear of lack became enormous, right? My fear that something dreadful was going to happen. I'm working for Spirit, but I'm not getting paid. And I became very, very fearful. And I saw the temptation to think that if I got a job, or if I started charging my friends for counseling phone calls, or that these options would save me. But my inner guidance was not to believe those things. I wanted to move beyond magic, right? So my knowledge, the knowledge that I had acquired, told me that the best thing for me was to do nothing and allow a miracle. Do nothing. My knowledge said the best thing for me, the thing that would not reinforce illusion and move me towards the realization of truth, would be to do nothing. But I didn't have total knowledge, so there was still some fear, right? I didn't have total knowledge that this would work. I had some knowledge, enough knowledge to provide the guidance, but I needed to combine it with faith. I literally needed to trust that if I followed my guidance and did nothing, because that was my guidance, right? I needed to trust that if I followed my guidance and did nothing, that something helpful would appear. And something helpful did appear, actually. Someone I did not know well at the time, received guidance to start sharing her pay with me, her paycheck with me. And there were reasons why she received the guidance too. It's helpful to her. I'm not going to go into the whole story. But an answer appeared. So do you see how the knowledge, which was my guidance, combined with the faith, enacted a powerful teaching formula? Do you see it, how it's moving me away from reinforcing the illusion? Now, it's not complete because I still got money, right? I still got money, you know, so it was in the right direction. It was moving, and spirit does this. Spirit is helpful. And, you know, it tells us in the Course, as long as we still believe we need something, it will be provided. But that also means is at some point when we realize we don't need it, it may not be provided because we're totally free of thinking we need it. So spirit was working to provide me with something that I believed I needed, but because of my willingness to follow my guidance and faith, it came about in a way that increased my trust in God and decreased my reliance on illusion. You see how it was helpful? Incomplete knowledge combined with faith. Okay, now the next paragraph in the message. The knowledge that is helpful to your awakening is the knowledge that you are the power you call mind. When you realize that mind is your power and everything else is its effect, including this person showing up with guidance to share her paychecks with me, right? That's the effect of the power of mind. When you realize that mind is your power and everything else is its effect, you realize there is nothing to fear. You realize there is only one choice, and you are the one who chooses. When your knowledge in this lifetime is near its completion, you will make a choice and see its effects immediately. And I have already begun to experience that somewhat. I'm not going to say I experience it consistently. I feel like I'm in some kind of a transition. But I do experience it somewhat. I find myself feeling, I would say I feel guided to make the choice. Like something in me tells me to make this choice. I make the choice. I follow through by making the choice. And I can see effects immediately. For example, I mean, you guys heard about the hand story, but let me just tell you another little insignificant story, except that this kind of thing is beginning to happen to me more and more often as I'm going through whatever transition I'm going through. In the middle of the night, my dog likes to go out and pee. So last night she wanted to go out and pee. And when I was, I have this little bar that I put behind the sliding glass door at night so that it can't be opened. Well, when I was putting the bar back in the door after I let her back in, I smashed my finger between the bar and the door. Smashed it pretty good, actually. And my first thought was to, like, say, oh, shit, or something. But I immediately heard guidance. I immediately heard guidance to deny the injury. That's what I heard, deny the injury. And so I said, I literally said no. And as soon as I said no, the pain immediately stopped. And, you know, I woke up this morning, and of course, you know, you would have thought this pinch would have created like a little blood blister. You guys know what I'm talking about, the way it was pinched. And of course, there's nothing there. So you see how I was guided to make a decision. I followed through firmly and completely without doubt, and I had an immediate effect. And these are the kinds of things I am beginning to experience. In no way am I a master. And most of the stories, to be honest, I feel to keep to myself at this point. And I think that's true guidance as well. But I'm beginning to experience these things where I'm guided to make a choice, I make the choice, and then I see an immediate effect. So this is, again, moving away from the illusion, moving towards the knowledge of what we are. It's a movement. It's an awakening, right? So when your knowledge in this lifetime is near its completion, you will make a choice and see its effects immediately. But when this knowledge seems to be building within your mind, that is, when you are still accepting that the truth about you is true, you will seem to make a choice with fear and doubt still in the mind, so the effects of your choice may seem to take time. Do not let this discourage you. Continue to make the choice in faith. You are learning that which you desire to learn. You are learning that effects are the result of your choice. Even in the lack of immediacy, you are learning this, because you know there is fear in your mind, and you can see the fear reflected in what seems to be a delay in results. So if you aren't making a complete and full, faithful choice, you know that. So if you aren't seeing immediate effects or complete effects, you get why, right? Your mind, you're still doubting. You're still not sure. But that's okay. That's okay. You're in a process of learning, right? We are all in a process of learning, or a process of unlearning, actually. It's unlearning what we thought we were. Notice what Spirit says next. Do not lament the delay in results. Instead, rejoice. Rejoice that you are learning the truth is true. As you rejoice in this evidence, your fear will diminish, and you will accept that mind is all there is. As you accept that mind is all there is, your desire to master the mind shall increase through love, and the effects that blossom forth out of love shall teach you the knowledge you rejoice in knowing. Now, this is an interesting paragraph to me. It says, as you accept that mind is all there is, your desire to master the mind shall increase through love. Through love is different than through ego. The ego can also have a desire to master the mind. There's a difference, at least the way I experience the difference. I can only talk about me right now. The way I experience the difference right now in my current process of awakening, at my current stage, whatever that is I still feel a very strong desire, a guidance to surrender. So I feel that, you know, it's like I say it over and over again, and I think I'm saying it over and over again now because I'm teaching myself, right? I'm reminding myself, we're not supposed to consciously choose miracles. I'm not supposed to look at something, judge that as not appropriate, and choose to have that healed or fixed with the power of the mind. That feels totally inappropriate to me. What feels appropriate is to accept all things as they are. And then when I feel an inner prompt to ask for something, or to, like last night, deny an injury, I follow through in absolute trust and faith, right? So for me, the surrender is very important, because then I'm learning about the power of the mind through love instead of through ego. And that makes all the difference in the world to me. So I do want to master the mind, or wake up, no longer think I'm ego, know what I really am, right? But I want to do that through love, through guidance, through surrender. That's my current heart. And so again, as you accept that mind is all there is, your desire to master the mind shall increase through love. And the effects that blossom forth out of love, right? What comes when I'm guided to make a decision for a healing, for example, whether it's for me or for someone else. When I'm guided to make a decision that an injury be healed, and then that injury is healed, it teaches me that the world is not true, that the power of mind is the only thing that's real, right? As you accept that mind is all there is, your desire to master the mind shall increase through love, and the effects that blossom forth out of love shall teach you. Do you see how the physical miracles are teaching tools, right? They're still, at one level, we could call them magic, you know, because they're still at the level of form. But it's a magic that Spirit is using to teach us, right? To bring us forward from our belief and reliance on illusion to the awakening of our truth. As you accept that mind is all there is, your desire to master the mind shall increase through love, and the effects that blossom forth out of love shall teach you the knowledge you rejoice in knowing. The truth shall set you free because you are free. In this knowledge, you know the sweet, sweet taste of your freedom. So that's it. That's the two messages that came over that summer. And like I said, by the time we get to the next message, we're going to be entering into the period of time that was when Regina and Laurent were together, and there were messages coming to help them. The very first one is, it is simple then. It was the very first message that came when Laurent arrived in August of 2007. So we'll start looking at those next week. For now, kiss, kiss. I do love you guys very much, and I will be back on Wednesday morning for Awakenings. We're back to normal for at least a couple of weeks. Bye.